OK， 第十节，第十节，犯以色列家中的人，或是寄居在他们中间的外人，若出什么血，我必向那出血的人变脸，把他从民中剪除。第十，你们都不可出血，寄居在你们中间的外人也不可出血。外邦人 ，Namely， 我问各位啊，那不在以色列中的外邦人，那是不是可以出血？
可以。
对。啊，那为什么缘故住在以色列中、住在以色列家中的外邦人不可以出血？坏，因为他们出血，在以色列眼光看起来是非常非常可恶的事，所以马上 turn off 以色列人。以色列人看见你出血，他绝不跟你来往。OK， if Israelite see anybody eating the flesh, the blood, they certainly turn him off. There is no way of fellowship. Therefore, Bible say Israel and those foreigners who live among Israel. Therefore, these Gentiles, so long as they mingle with Israel, they must not eat blood. But if they are not living with Israel, that's all right.That is the reason why in Acts chapter 15, they asked the people living, the Gentiles living in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, not to eat bread, not to eat food offered to idols, because they are mingling with Jews. Now in Corinth, the situation is different. So over here, see clearly, this is determined by cultural historical background. Mm-hmm. That is very clear from the Bible, okay?
Yes.
So that gives us some basic principle interpreting the Bible.
Then homosexual is different.
That's totally different. Now, homosexual is not merely the cultural thing. It's totally radically different. And even smoking is different too. Drinking alcohol is different too. Different from eating from food of the idol. That's totally. Because these are evil, intrinsical evil. Evil in themselves. Now, eating food offered to the idol is not evil in themselves, but evil in bad influence upon other people.Now, that's we have to distinguish. David?
It seems like to me, okay, verse 20 of Acts chapter 16, the only thing that is intrinsically evil is fornication.、
And、right, that's right.
The rest of it is the cultural.
The fornication is?
I mean, the rest of it.
Right.
Okay.
That's right, yeah.
If that is the case,、
yes.
why didn't Paul, or why didn't they, and then that council is not just for regional.Is for the whole...
No.
It's not?
The council is for... Read the context. That's always I call out. Read the context.
Okay, where is the content?
Okay, read. Let me ask this. To whom they send that letter?
To Gentile.
Yeah. Read it carefully. To whom the letter went?
Okay.
在创世纪不是创世纪Acts chapter 15章使徒行传第十五章，那一些信啊，那些信寄到哪里
？Antioch, Syria, and Sicilia.
Right. That letter was intended only for the Gentile in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. It is not intended for all Gentiles. Now, it's very clearly stated in that context.
Wow, that's become very difficult, you know.
Why?
Everything you read, you have, okay, like if it is written to Philippian.
No, that's different. Yeah, okay.
If a letter written to Philippian, okay, you said, start asking, okay, that's written to Philippian.
No, you are making a different interpretation. Now, okay, this letter is written to those in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, and particularly, you have to realize in verse 21.The passage you pointed out, verse 21 become very key passage in understanding Acts chapter 15. Okay, because it give you the reason why we ask them to do this. Because, what for? In a way, become very, 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 very important. Okay, in a way, make it very important. Now, the letter which is sent to Philippians, for example, or sent to Romans, or sent to other places. Okay.They included some general principle. And as a matter of fact, okay, the principle which is is manifested, or which is behind, which lies behind Acts chapter 15, is also applicable to us today. Let me put that way. Okay? Namely, we have to distinguish, I think it's become technical now, we have to make distinguish between precept and the principle. Let me write down, and probably we have to wait till tomorrow to, or someday to explain this. We have to make distinction between precepts and the principle. Actually, let me say it this way. The principle behind Acts 15 and the principle behind 1 Corinthians are the same, identical. Okay? They are identical. But when this principle is applied to two different situations in Acts chapter 15, okay, let me say what is the principle. The principle is, it's alright to eat food offered to the idols. But if it causes others to stumble, don't eat. That is a principle. When this principle is applied to the situation in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, okay, let me illustrate. I think this is so important. This is a very, very, very important. So let's put it that way. Same principle. This principle is applied in the case of Antioch, Syria, Cilicia. Over here, 99%, okay, the principle is that it's alright to eat, but if cause others to stumble, don't eat. In the case of Cilicia, it is 99% you are going to cause others to stumble, therefore don't eat. This is precept. The principle, same principle, apply in the case of Corinth. Well, it's about 50-50. You may and you may not cause others to stumble. Therefore, the precept is that if you cause others to stumble, don't eat. If you don't cause others to stumble, okay to eat. Something. There is no contradiction. Okay? There is no contradiction there. Okay? So that is very important in interpreting the Bible. So some of the principle even mentioned in Philippians or Ephesians in whatever, the principle is valid. Okay? And the question is how to apply this in a particular situation. So you remember what I said sometime ago, I forgot, probably the first time when we met, I said one meaning with many applications. You remember that? So this is the principle which I talk about, one meaning, many applications. Now, the principle is the same. They did not change the principle. The principle never changed. But when this applies through different situations, it comes up with a different precept. Okay? That's what we call precept. This is what I call principle. So over here, principle does not change. Okay, yes.
So according to you, then these are the days back in those days, the principle. But what about if we were to apply it today?
Right. The principle, same thing.
Same principle.
Never change. Principle never change. The precept is affected by the particular situation. Okay. So let me say it this way. Hypothetically. Suppose I am only one in my family. I'm a Christian. Okay. And the rest, my parents, my brother are non-Christians. I surely will not eat anything off of the idol. I will not. Mm-hmm. I won't eat. For the sake of my witness, I will not eat.
What happens if they don't worry about it?
Pardon?
If they don't even ask you, even if they don't care about it.
Yeah, if they don't care about it. But I want to prepare for the future. Mm-hmm. I would rather careful. Okay? I would rather careful.
Aren't you raising another issue then?
No.
Which is not even in their mind.
Well,
this is related.
That's right. Right. That's right. However, okay. In that case, of course, Bible doesn't talk about real, but we talk about love. I want to provide opportunity for them to come to Christ. That's the reason why I won't eat. Okay.
Possibility of offending them.
Yeah. Right. Hopefully, in the future, I never offend them. Okay. Now let me tell you one particular situation. Okay. That is a true story. It's what happened. Okay, we had a brother Well, when I was young, a young man was called into ministry. And he came to seminary. In the Bible seminary in Taiwan. That kind of those who... The Bible seminary in a sense of high school graduate attend. Not the real seminary. Because when I talk about Taiwan, we have to make a distinction. In the United States, when we talk about seminary, we talk about graduate school. But over there, it's a high school graduate. Now, this boy was the only boy, only son of his mother. Now, his father died. So only he and his mother lived together. Now, his mother is a very devout Buddhist. And she almost offers everything to the idol before they eat. Okay? And this man, this boy, came to Bible school. And over there, one teacher told this boy, okay, Bible says you are not supposed to eat anything offered to the idols. If you eat that, you commit sin and you are not Christian. Well, he took that course. He heard that, and that night he went home. And when he got into his home, he saw his mother just finished cooking the supper and burned the incense offered to the idols. And then say, okay, my boy, come to eat. That boy told his mother, say, well, mama, I'm a Christian. And according to the Bible, I'm not supposed to eat this food offered to the idol. Therefore, I'm going to eat. And his mother broke into tears and wept and wept and wept. And his mother would not eat either. And that broke the heart of this boy. So on the morrow, this boy came to Bible school and say, I wish withdraw from Bible school and I give up my church membership. Because if, according to the New Testament, of course that's a misinterpretation. According to the New Testament, I'm not supposed to eat food offered to the idols. But if I don't eat it, my mother would die. Therefore, I decide to eat food offered to the idols, and according to the New Testament, put in quotation, I have been defiled, I'm not Christian, therefore I give up Christian faith. And that's what he did. Okay. Now, because he, the teacher, misinterpreted the Bible and cost one soul. And that boy was very promising young man. Has a big brand, nice brand, etc. But the Bible school teacher told him that, and that will seal the end of his life, Christian life. So what I said is, I say if I were that kind of situation, I won't eat. I don't mean not this kind of situation, the different situation. Namely, if I don't eat the food of the idol, would not offend my family, then I won't eat it. But under such kind of situation, if I were put in this boy's situation, I would eat it. Okay? Because that's what the Bible says. Nothing wrong with it. So I'm not talking about compromising. This is not compromise. This is the correct application of biblical principle. Okay? So it is very important to talk about correctly interpreting the Bible. Otherwise, we cause that kind of casualty. And I feel very sorry for this young man. So let me qualify the thing I said a moment ago about if my family are not Christians. Now, if I would choose not to eat, if that would not cause them to stumble, well, that would cause them to hurt. But if we cause them hurt, then I will eat it. For their sake. But for me, whether I eat it or not, does not cause any problem. Now, if you like to, I may give you another example. This is the interpretation and the usage. Okay, when I was in military service, namely in Air Force, I was in the same group. I put across in about 5 minutes, so don't worry. With a boy, a Christian boy. Now that Christian boy was brought up in that kind of background that he didn't know much about the Bible, but he is very devout. Now one day, in military, of course, in the Air Force, we don't have much thing to eat. So one day, we came for lunch. What supper? I forgot. Anyway, we came for meal. And the only food left put on the table was zhuxue, the blood of pork. It's cooked. Blood of pork. And we came to eat. That's the only thing we have. We have rice and that's the only way we got. Nothing else. And this boy knew I was Christian. And of course, he did not know much. So when he saw that, he said, "Hey, Wang Dixiong, brother Wang, this is blood. You're not supposed to eat it." I didn't answer him. I didn't say anything. So when he was sitting with me, I did not eat. I just ate white rice. Nothing to... nothing, how we call it? Nothing to pray. Nothing to eat with the rice. I just ate white rice. Of course, that's not taste good. But I just ate rice and water, and that's what he did too. So two of us just ate it. I did not touch the bread. Okay? I didn't want to offend him, and did not have time to talk to him either, to instruct him. So I thought, okay, instead of stumbling, I abstain from eating. Then when he finished his first bowl of rice, he went to put something in. When he went out, I ate a lot. And then when he came back, then I asked him from eating. Now that's not hypocrisy. It's not hypocrisy, no. But I tried not to offend him for his sake. I abstained from eating. But of course, when he gone, he was not watching. I ate it. It's all I did, according to the Bible. Now I hope one day I can explain to him what that's involved, the issue involved. But because I didn't have time, so in order not to offend him, I abstained from eating. Now, that is the application of some biblical principle. Yeah.
Is Bible safe, but is there any good reason for that?
According to the Bible, you mean on the basis of the Bible or what?
Yeah. Well,
okay, we already read in Leviticus, God told Israel not to eat. Therefore, those people who are living among Israel are not to eat. Okay?
Is that mean,
you know, I don't know. But we are not talking about 医学上的根据, we are talking about biblical basis.
But can we say there's no medical background? Because at that time, maybe for some reason that Moses doesn't...
Well, the reason why is, of course, okay, let me say this. The reason why is, really, in many places, okay, God does not want Israel to eat many things. It's so that Israel will be separated from Gentiles.
Right, okay, so now we don't have that kind of problem. So
right,
we can eat.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. That's the reason why I say, hey, otherwise I want to say...
Blood
is
the
yeah,
sure.
Huh? What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. OK
先看完了
啊? Yeah, 不是 所以就说 OK, this is important issue about how to interpret the Bible, how to apply the I hope you learn something. And if you want to challenge me, I'm glad to talk to you about historical and the cultural background of that particular passage or which will help us to understand. Now this afternoon we'd like to talk the factor to look into the factor of the context, because we can understand any statement or any words only in its proper context. Now when we talk about context, of course we realize, as I said the other day, about the progressive revelation. Therefore we need to consider that whether the passage is in New Testament or in Old Testament. Now to see the passage in a perspective of the progressive revelation, we also need to look at the structure of the particular book. If we do not look into the structure of the particular book, we will have difficulty understanding what it is. Now, we will talk about this in a few minutes or later on. But for example, once we can analyze a book into its structure forms, in its component, then we begin to understand the message of the scripture. However, before we can do this kind of analysis, we need to look at the different way the different material are put together. Therefore, let's start this afternoon by looking at the different kind of literary structure relations. We need to look at the relations first before we can really begin to do our analysis of the book of the Bible. Now, what I'm going to say, I think you have in your hand, in the second sheet, I think, it is mentioned there about literary structure relations. Okay. So you can refer to that and refer to what I put down on the transparency, and we can see what illustrates this, for example. Now, the first relationship is what we call the comparison. Now, when we talk about comparison, of course, the like kind of material, the material which are like, similar, are compared. Of course, you cannot compare the unsimilar material. When you compare, you have to have some kind of similar material. Therefore, comparison is the association of similar things, and they are put in kind of the comparison. Now, let's look at one, I think it's maybe be more effective if you take time to read these passages where we can read. Let's look at Hebrew chapter 5, verse 1 to 10, and look at this. Hebrew chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Okay, somebody volunteer. If you have to divide those two passages into two, how are you going to divide it? The passage we just read, verse 1 to 10. If you have to divide that into two parts, how are you going to divide them into two parts? Well, let me put it this way. In the earlier part, what is the writer talking about here?
Explaining the functions of the high priest.
What kind of high priest?
人间的大祭司,
right? Namely, he's talking about the high priest or the Levi's son. Namely, talk about Levitic high priest, right? He's talking about Levitic high priest. Okay. Now, what is the thing talk about in another part?
High priest after order of Melchizedek.
Now, that is also talk. Okay, it is talk about also the high priest, but this time is
Jesus
Christ as a high priest, right? Now, over here we have two sections of material, namely. First section talk about Levitic high priest. In the second section, from 5 to 10, is also talk about high priest. Now, these two groups, two kinds of material, are compared together. So also, okay, 如此, 照样的, okay, 在这个人间的大祭司怎么样? 照样, 基督, 是神所特别拣选的大祭司, 他也怎么样? What happened to the Levitic high priest? Same thing. In a similar way, this is what the Christ as a high priest come about, etc. So over here is a comparison of the Levitic high priest and Christ as a high priest. Okay, so that's comparison. Compare something. Now, the second kind of relationship is what we call contrast. 对比, 那这是 comparison 就比较, 就两个相同的东西在这里比较。 利未记, 人家的大祭司如此, okay, 基督做我们的大祭司是如此。 那现在是讲到 contrast 对比, okay, 比如说, let's look at 罗马第四章。 罗马书第四章 好,哪一位念一下 罗马书第四章 可能念全章 可能太长了 Let's see anyway 不过为了要说我们 get the point 也许我们念一下 OK， 二十五节，就是一节到二十五节，南岳是不是可以念一下？
如此是。
OK， why？
如此说来，我们的祖宗亚伯拉罕凭着肉体得了什么呢？倘若亚伯拉罕是因信行为称义，就有可夸的，只是在神面前并无可夸。经上说什么呢？说亚伯拉罕信神，这就算为他的义，做工的得工价，不算恩典，乃是该得的。唯有不做工的，只信称罪人为义的神，他的信就算为义。正如大卫称那在行为以外蒙神算为义的人是有福的，他说得赦免其过遮盖其罪的这人是有福的，主不算为有罪的这人是有福的。如此看来，这福是该加给那受割礼的人吗？不也是加给那未受割礼的人吗？因我们所说亚伯拉罕的信就算为他的义是怎么算的呢？是在他受割礼的时候呢？是在他未受割礼的时候呢？不是在受割礼的时候，乃是在未受割礼的时候，并且他受了割礼的记号和他未受割礼的时候因信称义的印证，叫他做一切未受割礼而信之人的父，使他们也算为义。又做受割礼之人的父，就是那些不但受割礼并且按我们的祖宗亚伯拉罕未受割礼而信终极去行的人。因为神应许亚伯拉罕和他的后裔必得承受世界，不是因律法，乃是因信而得的义。若是属乎律法的人才得为后嗣，信就归于虚空，应许也就废弃了。因为律法是惹动愤怒的，那里没有律，哪里没有律法，哪里就没有过犯。所以人得为后嗣是本乎信，因此就属乎恩，叫应许定然归给一切后裔，不但归于那属乎律法的，也归给那效法。
好，我们请第二位念底下，太长了啊。
亚伯拉罕所信的是那叫死人复活、使无变为有的神，他在主面前做我们世人的父。如今上所记，我已经立你做多国的父。他在无可指望的时候，因信仍有指望，就得以做多国的父。正如先前所说，你的后裔将要如此。他将近百岁的时候，虽然想到自己的身体如同已死，撒拉的生育已经断绝，他的信心还是不软弱，并且仰望神的应许，总没有因不信心里起疑惑，反倒因信心里得坚固，将荣耀归给神，且满心相信神所应许的必能做成，所以这就算为他的。
我们在这节在这张圣经里面 in this chapter, what have you seen? There are two kind of things contrasted. Now what are those two items?Contrasted， 他们两个在对比，有两个东西。他在这张圣经里面谈到两件事，那两件事是对比，很强烈的对比。或者，哪位看到？啊，义和不义，还有没有？他主要是讲什么？
用行为称义
跟信。Right， 就是靠遵行律法称义和因信称义的对比。这段圣经里面 ，this is a contrast between law and faith. Now, see, we see this particularly. This become very clear in Rome for Romans 4:13. Not through law, but through righteousness of faith.所以这对比的时候啊，就是说在这种 contrast 的时候啊，一边跟哪一边呢，就如果这边对，那边就错了， OK， 就有这么一个关系， OK， if one is true, the other is false, so this is a strong contrast, OK。 OK, let's look at the third kind of structural relations, which is called recurrence. Something